Welcome to episode 149 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Regular listeners will know that it's been a while since we last heard from Hugh Graham, who was my one-time lecturer and colleague. Well, you're in luck this week. We're discussing something which is probably quite relevant to many people. So here's our topic for today. The summer's here, you're heading out and off maybe on holiday, and of course your top priority is going to be whether or not you should carry a camera. And if you do, which one should you choose? And more to the point, does it really matter? Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 149. So once again, I am with Hugh Graham, my one-time lecturer and colleague from when back in the day when we shot pictures together and what have you. And today we are going to be talking about having a camera with you to always be making the most of any opportunities.
Hang on, just before we start that.
And there it is.
You told me, and I'm not sure this is true, that I now have a fan club.
Yes, you do. We say fan club, very loosely speaking. You have a following, people that are asking to hear from you. Yeah.
Good Lord, it's truth. Okay, fine.
How will you ever cope with
the fan? So they're actually going to believe what I'm saying?
Oh, well, that's a different matter. They're interested to hear what you've got to say, certainly.
All right. How many times have you been walking down the high street and you've seen a wonderful photo of opportunity and you haven't got your camera bag either ready or open or whatever?
It happens far too often, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I've certainly missed shots. And back in the days before camera phones, if people can remember that.
Oh, that dreadful phrase, citizen journalism. Anathema to all freelancers. Yeah, go on.
So, yeah, obviously, a lot of people would say, well, look, you've always got a camera with you because you've got your camera phone or what have you, and it is true, you don't always want to take your SLR with you and what have you, but there is this wonderful area of the camera market which is often overlooked because prices are dropping, technology is advancing, and DSLR cameras are getting so reasonably priced that people jump straight for a bridge or a DSLR camera. But of course there's that wonderful arena of the compact camera.
A long time ago, before you were a tradesman in your father, and certainly before you had, when you had a full thatch of hair, I interviewed a chap called David Bailey. Yeah, even you would have heard of David Bailey.
I know
Bailey.
David Bailey. Yeah,
yeah, right. And he was chatting around. And I said, "What sort of camera do you use?" And he said, "I wish people wouldn't ask that stupid question." He said, "I would like to have a magic finger and point it at the subject and it would automatically create the visual picture that I had inside my head." Mm. And he said, "So I think," and I subsequently proved it several times, "that you could give people of David Bailey's calibre any camera and they will produce a magic image." Mm. Now, you must have tried this out yourself. You must have gone off with all sorts of wonderful equipment and come back with some diabolical pictures. I have used the most sophisticated equipment and come back with dreadful photographs. Mm. And yet, the siren song of the photographic industry is that if you buy the laces, bells, whistles, all singing, all dancing wonder, you will take pictures like David Bailey. I won't use a coarse miniature expression, but it's rubbish, isn't it? Mm,
it is. And there are people, practitioners out there at the moment who are kind of re-emphasising this as if it's their own idea, because they've got a big following, people are thinking, wow, I don't need all this equipment. You know, it's not the camera, it's da-da-da, all the rest of it. But it goes back to having something to record an image, and often
having an image rather than no image is what it's all about.
Sure. And also, some of the really great photographers used a simple standard Leica with a simple standard 50mm lens.
Mm.
And they shot. And Cartier-Bresson is the he was the architect of photojournalism, wasn't he? And everything he shot was on a 50mm Leica lens.
Mm.
And he didn't have any wide-angle lenses or telephoto lenses and the rest of it. You only need the one lens.
Mm.
So, I can remember him in an interview telling the photographer that if he needed a wide-angle lens, then he could walk a bit closer. And if he needed a long focus lens, then he could walk further away.
Mm.
I think that's a wonderful attitude. And apart from anything else, and I know that I've done this, and I'm sure that if you're telling the truth, you will do it.
Mm.
You go out on a shoot, you spend a significant part of your time deciding what lens to use, don't you?
Mm.
When in actual fact, if you only had the one lens, life would be a lot easier.
Well, my current favourite setup when I head out for a walk in the countryside or go to sort of scout a location or whatever it might be, I like my Nikon D800 because it's nice and small without the battery grip on it, and either a 50mm or a 35mm prime lens.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, it does encourage you to explore and walk around the subject. And
you become a photographer.
And you do become a photographer.
Yes.
Now, so what this kind of sparked this conversation, we were talking recently about compact cameras and always having a camera, and Hugh has recently bought a Panasonic Lumix camera, and I was talking about the Canon G9, which I still have, and in its day, going back a few years, was fantastic. But whether it's because expectations have changed and technology has moved on, now I feel as I can't shoot it over ISO 80 or 100.
Yeah, but you never could.
No, I mean, up at 400 it was even in the best light, but I'm toying with selling it to fund or put that money towards a new compact camera, because no, with family life, with going out with friends, what have you, you don't want to be the photographer in the group that has to take his DSLR and make a big song and dance about let's take some pictures. You want to have something that's very quick and it's very natural and it just is there, you know.
Well, as you know, I believe the whole world is divided into Canon or Nikon.
Mm.
And that you are firmly in the Nikon camp and that I am firmly in the Canon camp.
Mm.
It has to be said that I was very disappointed with the G series of compacts.
Mm.
And I think beautifully designed, nice and heavy, the specification was wonderful, and the images, providing you had bright sunlight, were perfectly acceptable. But that wasn't what I wanted. Mm. I wanted a camera that I could take almost anywhere and that would produce me an acceptable image. Now, I work as a freelance and I know a bitter truth. It is not the best image that gets published.
Mm.
It's the first image, the first acceptable image that gets to the picture editor.
Mm.
And if that's shot on an iPhone 5, then that's the one he'll use.
Mm.
Mm. Now, citizen journalism means that picture editors have far more choice than they ever had before.
Mm.
So, picture quality is no longer as important as it was. You don't have to have megapixel sensors or whatever it is. That's sad to anybody who likes to collect photographic jewellery and hung the latest thing around their neck.
Mm.
But the reality is that the people who are buying pictures will buy the picture they like,
mm,
and they don't care what the specification of the image is.
Mm.
I wanted to have a look at a simple thing that I could take anywhere, and in the end, I went and had a look, and I took the advice of a friend of mine, and I bought on eBay, second-hand, for approximately £100, a Panasonic Lumix DMC LX3. And as you can see, because you're looking at it now, it's about the size of a package of cigarettes. Mm. It has, unbelievably, an F2-like a lens. Mm. It's absolutely magic. Mm. It takes the most superb photographs.
And I actually borrowed this for a few days since the last time I saw you, and I gave it back to you today. I just went for a stroll down by a river and what have you. And yeah, I mean, you know, within this course of maybe an hour, it's not the best proving ground to find out exactly whether a camera does everything you want it to. But just those initial shots, even in very bright sunshine, working out how it copes with the contrast and what have you, it was pretty impressive.
Well, I can't fault it. It comes in three sizes, really. Because there's the LX3, the LX5, and the LX7. The LX7 is far too expensive, because that's the current version. Mm. The LX5 is a brilliant camera. It's not as good as the LX3.
Mm.
I think the LX3 is the most wonderful combination that you could possibly have. Mm. It's never let me down. I had mine stolen in Las Palmas by some little tea leaf.
Mm.
And it was the one I had bought, and I suppose I paid about 100 quid for it.
Mm.
When I came back in March, and the insurance company were still arguing about paying out,
mm.
I searched for one on eBay, and I had to pay 140 quid
mm.
For one that was almost brand new. And as you can see,
yeah.
It's excellent. Yeah. Anybody who's looking for an easy point-and-shoot camera with a fair degree of photography, remember it will shoot raw.
Mm. And it has a hot shoe, so you can
put a decent camera, flash gun on. Yeah, it's and I have sold so many images with this that there's that. I find that I carry it with me all the time.
Well, this is what we were talking about earlier. Just behind me here, we've got your low pro bag with all your Canon.
Yeah.
DSLRs, lenses, flash guns, what have you.
As you can see, it's covered in dust.
Well, it's always been covered in dust. But, you know, you're saying you chuck that in the back of the car when you go to do an interview and talk to someone, but you only just walk in with your Lumix.
Yes.
You know, but then that goes to show, I mean, you could show someone a spread or an article in a magazine and say, was that shot on the Lumix or was it shot on Hughes Canon?
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't know the difference.
Well, of course it
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
And providing the editor of the magazine is happy with the images, then he just asks you. Yeah, I mean, we've had this conversation before, Charles. If you're going to an art exhibition of a local art club, and you're looking at a wonderful watercolour, you don't say, I wonder whether that was shot or done with a 0.02 sable brush.
Mm.
And wonder whether they use special water here. Or what was the colour? And I really do like the easel. It's absolute junk, isn't it?
Mm.
So when you look at the photographs, do you want to know what sort of camera it was shot on?
I think realistically, the only people that are really going to be concerned that much are the technical photography magazines where it's of interest to the keen amateur who wants to know all of this technical stuff, to know what camera it's being used. But we're sat here and we've got Making Money magazine, we've got Outdoor Fitness, we've got BBC Country Farm magazine, Countryman's Weekly. None of these magazines have a credit saying photo Hugh Graham shot on a Canon. It doesn't matter.
But hang on, if you go to the Royal Photographic Society and you go up and you look at the pictures, do you want to see what camera it was shot on? Do you want to see what lens it was shot on? Or do you just want to admire the image?
Last year, I think it was, to tie in with the centenary of the summit of Everest in 1953. There was an exhibition at the Royal Geographical Society.
Yep.
And beautiful pictures. You know, they're timeless. A lot of them looked very modern. And when I say that, I mean they didn't look like old black and white shot on, you know, wooden tripod type cameras, what have you. And there was a bit of information about you know, really about how the guy kept his cameras protected when he was going up Everest, and what about the cold with the film, or rather the plates and what have you, and all this various different stuff. That was quite interesting. But the pictures were just standalone, that knowing that, even as a photographer, knowing that extra information didn't really, it didn't really support the pictures or my pleasure in viewing them.
Yeah.
It was about, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, the content of the pictures, the, you know, the getting the message across. It's, yeah. That's what, you know, when you look at the likes of Don McCullen or, what's his name? Who was it did the D-Day landings and the film got damaged in processing?
Capper.
Yeah, Robert Capper. You know, these guys, they just wanted tools of the trade that would be up to the job. Famously, Don McCullen took a bullet in his camera.
Saved his life.
Now, that's a great story to tell your grandkids, of course.
Yeah.
But the Robert Capper image, what makes it so edgy and graphic and what have you, was not the fact that he thought, I'm going to shoot on this film and this camera and my viewpoint is going to be at two feet and this. It wasn't that. It was the fact that when the film got back to the darkroom, the darkroom guy got his technique wrong, and the film was overheated, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it made the emulsion start to melt or, yeah, and what have you, and that's what gives you that sort of jagged sort of not crystal clear, yeah. But that has become an absolute,
it's an icon,
an iconic image,
yeah.
But
then do you remember that wonderful picture of the Spanish soldier in the
falling
point of
soldier.
Death,
with his arms
outspread,
yeah,
and a rifle just for him,
yeah.
There's been so many stories about that, and about how Capper set it up, and whether it was set up, whether it was a genuine capture or not, doesn't make any difference. The image is fantastic.
Yeah.
Whether it was actually created, whether it was actually taken as it happened, I have no idea.
Well, it's the same with National Geographic. They'll send a photographer off on assignment, and he will be saying, right, I want you to stand there, because the light is perfect coming through the trees,
yeah,
and you need to stand there, because he may not be saying this, but in his mind he's thinking, well, that balances out the frame, and this is all about how they're gathering this, that, and the other, what have you. And he's crafting the image.
He's just a director, isn't he?
Yeah, and he just knows that the camera that he has got is up to the job,
yeah,
is the tools, you know, and of course has the backup. If you go all the way to Borneo or something, you want to make sure you've got a backup camera, of course. But people that aren't going to Borneo, that just want to go walking with their family at the weekend or down the pub and want to make sure they've got a camera, compact cameras should not be ruled out.
I couldn't agree with you more, because that thing there can go anywhere with you. Mm. It can sit happily in a little pouch on your belt.
Mm.
It can be ready within a split second to take an image.
Mm.
And people are completely unaware of it.
Yeah.
Also, you can walk along with it, and you can hold it in your hand, and you can take your pictures as you walk, can't you?
Mm, yeah.
And no one actually knows you're taking them.
Maybe that could be a future conversation about
stealth pictures.
Stealth pictures, sort of waist level street photography and that sort of thing. So. But there we go. So a bit of a, what are we on the timing here? Oh, just under 20 minutes. So a bit of a shorter conversation this time, for no other reason than I've got to go somewhere.
So you're cutting me short because you're going home for tea?
No. I've got to go and speak at a camera club this evening.
Who?
At a camera club.
Oh, are you lecturing?
I am indeed. So.
Which camera club?
This one is a place called Petersfield in Hampshire.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is going with a colleague and what have you. So could be fun. I like spreading the word. It's maybe I'll even get in the fact that we've had this conversation.
And then even be able to discuss the latest all singing, all dancing.
That's probably exactly what they'll want to know, is what camera did you shoot?
What camera did you shoot? What ISO was it on?
Yeah.
And so on.
But, you know.
Good luck, Giles.
Whatever floats your boat. Anyway, another lively debate. Again, Hugh, thank you very much, and we'll catch up soon.
My pleasure. Okay.
Just to illustrate the fact, I recently submitted some images for a feature. Now, most were shot on my Nikons, of course, but some came out of my phone. And they certainly held their own when put up against the others. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.